On Friday, I had the opportunity to be sitting with Mori V'Rabbi Rav Schechter, and we asked him whether the moving of the embassy, the American embassy to Jerusalem, has any religious significance, or if it's just purely a political... It definitely has tremendous political significance. The question is, does it have religious significance? Meaning, is there like something that a Ben Torah, a rabbi, could sink his teeth into over here and find meaning based on the decision of a secular government to move their embassy to Jerusalem? And Rav Schechter said immediately that absolutely it has religious significance, and he said that he sees this as a step closer to the coming of Mashiach, because the Nevi'im tell us that Bayomahu Yah Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, that ultimately at the end of days the nations of the world will come to the recognition of the Amitos HaTorah, the truth of the Hashem and His will and His desire. And there's a major component of Yiddishkeit that Yerushalayim is the capital of the Jewish people. In fact, Yerushalayim has a very deep connection to Malchus Beis David, and Malchus Beis David is a critical component of how things are going to work out, La'asid Lavo. So when the most powerful government in the world recognizes that the capital of the Jewish people is Jerusalem, that is a major step in the right direction, a major statement that we are getting to the point where the Ummos HaOlam appreciate the Amitos HaTorah. So he thought that this is a very significant step. So being that, and in honor of Yom Yerushalayim, which was yesterday, I thought that today, for Tamin Aleph Shir, we'll discuss a future step. A future step is going to be, obviously, what the ultimate Geula involves, a building of the third Beis HaMikdash. So the question I want to discuss today is, how is that third Beis HaMikdash going to be built? This is a sugya in Maseches Sukkah on Daf Mem Aleph, a sugya in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed, and the sugya is not really about how it's going to be rebuilt, but it comes up in the following context. The halacha is that one is not allowed to eat from the new grain until the Korban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. So, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, if you lived in Yerushalayim and you knew when the Korban Omer was brought, as soon as the Korban Omer was brought, you were allowed to eat from the Tevuah Chadasha. If you live far away from Yerushalayim and you didn't know when the Korban Omer was brought, you can assume that by Chatzos Hayom it was already brought. The Kohanim were not Misatzel, they were not lazy. They certainly brought it by Chatzos Hayom, and you could eat the new grain by Chatzos. But after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, so when can you eat the new grain? There is no Korban Omer after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. Machlokas should be done the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold Ad Sheyoyer Pnei HaMizrach, that when the sun rises on the second day of Pesach, it's mutter to eat the Korban Omer. And Rabbi Yehuda says Ad Atzmel Shel Yom V'Ad Bechlal, that including the entire second day, it's until the day is over. We passing like the Rabbanan, that right away sunrise, second day of Pesach, Mida Oraisa, you're allowed to eat the new grain in the absence of a Korban Omer. However, his skin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great hero of the post-Churban era, who made several takanos as a zecher l'mikdash, made over here a takana because mehera yibana beis hamikdash. He says, what's going to happen if we allow people to start eating the chadash right away in the morning on the second day of Pesach? Next year, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, people are going to remember, oh, last year I was allowed to eat the Chadash right away in the morning on the second day of Pesach. And they're not going to realize that, no, now we have a Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait for the Korban Omer. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana because Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, and people are going to get confused. They're going to say, last year we ate at Netzach Chama, we're going to do the same thing this year. So he made a takana that you're not allowed to eat Chadash until after the second day of Pesach is over, meaning follow the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. That was his takana. Asks the Gemara, when is he worried that the Beis HaMikdash might get rebuilt, that word won't get out, and that we won't be able to inform people and educate people? If you're worried that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt on Tes Zayin Nisan, on the second day of Pesach, well, don't worry about that, because then, when the sun rose that morning, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't there yet, it was already mutter to eat from the Chadash. So that's not going to be a problem. If he's worried that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt on Tes Vav Nisan, that it's going to be built on the first day of Pesach, Well, then, until Chatzos of Tezayin, by the time Chatzos rolls around on Tezayin, it should for sure be mutter because they will have brought a carbon omer by then. So you shouldn't ask her the whole day. You should only ask her until Chatzos. Says the Gemara, what his concern was that they're going to build the Beis Hamikdash on Lel Tezayin, the second night of Pesach, or late in the afternoon on the first day of Pesach, and they're going to have to bring a Korban Omer on the second day, but it's going to be so chaotic and so busy, they're not going to have time to get it done by Chatzos. So it's true, the Kohanim and Amisatzel, they do things on time, but it's going to be so busy. So therefore, he asked because of that possibility that it might get rebuilt the second night of Pesach, or late in the afternoon on the first day. So for all time that we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, we're not allowed to eat the Chadash on the entire second day of Pesach. That is the Gemara. Rashi and Tosos on the spot ask the following kasha. The Beis HaMikdash might be rebuilt on the second night of Pesach? There's a Gemara in Shavuos Daf Tesvav that you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash Belaila. So it shouldn't be a concern that you're going to build the Beis HaMikdash on the second night of Yom Tov. And it shouldn't be a concern you're going to build it on the first day either, because you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash Yom Tov. So what's the concern? So therefore, both Rashi and Tosafot say, it's true, we are not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov. We are not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash at night. But the Ribono Shel Olam is. And the third Beis HaMikdash is going to descend from Shemayim. It's going to descend from heaven, and therefore it can happen on the first day of Yom Tov. It can happen on the second night of Yom Tov. Tosos in Masech Shulz Tav Tezvav points out that there is significant basis for this in several midrashim. Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yodecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to form the handiwork of the second Beis HaMikdash. In fact, in the Tefillah of Nachim that we say on Tishbav, we make reference to the Yerushalmi in the fourth parak of Brachos, Ki Ata Hashem Be'esh Utsaso U'Be'esh Ata Asid Livnosa, that Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash with fire and he will rebuild it with fire. Sounds like an act of God. So what do we have so far? Rashi and Tosos both say third Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt by the Ribono Shel Olam. Comes along the Me'iri, Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph, and the Me'iri asks the same kasha that Rashi and Tosos ask, but the Me'iri gives a different and an absolutely stunning, shocking answer. The Me'iri asks the same kasha. How can Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be concerned that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt on the second night of Yom Tov or the first day of Yom Tov? You're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash at night. You're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov. Says the Me'iri, true, but we're concerned Shema Yit'u Beis Din Merov Simcha, that the Beis Din La'asadava, when it's all happening, when everything's going down, is going to be so overjoyed and is going to have so much hislavos to want to build the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to paskin incorrectly and they're going to allow people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Wow, what an unbelievable concern that they're going to, whoever gets to make those decisions of building the Beis HaMikdash and who gets to build it, when it gets built, that they're going to make the wrong decision and they're going to tell people that they could build it on Yom Tov, that they could build it on the second day. But what's mavur from the Me'iri is clearly he assumes people are building it and not the Ribono Shel Olam. And in fact, the Rambam in the 11th paragraph of Hilchos Melachim Halacha Aleph writes that the Melech HaMashiach is going to be the one that's Machzir Malchus Beis David LeYoshna and is going to be Bona the Mikdash, Makabi Simcha Yisrael. So the Rambam, based on several Midrashim, Vayikra Parshas Tzav, and Bamidbar Rabbah, and Parshas Naso, and the Midrash Rabban Shir HaShirim, strongly suggests that it is people that are going to build the Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach. It's not going to just descend from heaven. So L'chora, the Rambam must hold like the Me'iri, that why is it that it's going to happen at night? Why is it that it's going to happen on Yom Tov? Maybe because they'll make a mistake in Pesach. So here you have a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos on one side, the Me'iri and the Rambam on the other side. Who builds the third Beis HaMikdash? Rashi and Tosfos say it comes from heaven, it's Hashem, and the Me'iri and the Rambam say that it's going to be built by human beings, and there are midrashim to support each claim. Now, there is a stira in Rashi himself. Rashi on Yecheskel, Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and the Pasuk V'Yishmeru has called Tzarasov, has called Chukosov, V'Asu Osam V'Yishmeru, Pasuk describing the Binyan HaShlishi. Rashi says we need to know the dimensions of the Binyan HaShlishi so that we could know how to build it. Well, Rashi, wait a second, you're the one who told us we never have to build it. The Ribono Shel Olam is going to build it. So Rav Zevin writes that the answer might be that there are two possibilities. The Matzoy Shabbos in the Yungizel Woodmere, we had a program, Turo sponsored a program in honor of Yom Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Flaum spoke, and I spoke a little bit also. And Rabbi Flaum spoke about this inyan that Rav Zevin highlights, that there are two models of what Lasa Dava is going to look like, of what the end of the day is going to look like. There's the model of Be'ita, and there's the model of Achishena. That Zochu Achishena, if we're Zocha, Hashem will make it happen more quickly, and Lo Zochu Be'ita. If we're not Zocha, it's going to happen at a very slow pace, and when it was predetermined that it has to happen. So based on that, it could be that there are two possibilities of how the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. If we have a geula of Achishena, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to drop the Beis HaMikdash from heaven. But if we have a geula of Be'ita, then we're going to have to build it. It's going to be much more of a natural process. That's what Rav Zevin suggested. Rav Shechter once commented to me that he thought that Rav Salvechik used to not enjoy Rav Zevin's Sfarim. He thought that everything was too much of a Chiddush. Whatever Rav Shechter said, he loved Rav Zevin. He said that whenever he was sick from school, as a high school student, he would read another one of Rav Zevin's Sfarim, like most of us did when we were sick from school as high school students. So he thought that, I didn't talk to him about this particular Chiddush, but that's what Rav Zevin suggests. Now, there are Achorim that ask on Rashi and Tosfos, so all can come to Bidei Shemayim. L'chori, you can't say that about the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach, the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Ches, Amar Aleph, l'chora has to be built by human hands, because it requires lishma. So if it happens on its own, it's not going to be lishma. So even if the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built by God, there is some element, the Mizbeach, that's going to be built by human beings. Another suggestion of maybe how to make all of this fit together, in the Siddur Siach Yitzchak, he points out we say in Tefillah, V'areinu b'vinyano v'samcheinu b'sikuno, that there's two different things. There's binyano and tikuno. Binyano might be the building, hareinu. Hareinu, you'll show us the building. We're not going to participate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will build. But v'samcheinu, we will have the simcha of participating b'tikuno, meaning we may get a prefabbed model of something, and then we're going to have to work on it and fix it up, whether it's placing a mizbeach and doing other things. And it has to be that way, that we get to participate in one way or another. And he quotes this from the Maral Diskin, because we have a mitzvah of building a mikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take away that mitzvah from us. How can we have a real sense of simcha if we didn't get to participate in it? So it must be that we get to participate. The Aruch Liner suggests a different approach. Aruch Liner, here in Masech HaSukkah, first he raises a couple of questions. He says, why does the Gemara say Mehira Yibana HaMikdash? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to just drop it in the Shemayim, it should be Mehira Yigala HaMikdash. That Hashem should be Megala to us, the Beis HaMikdash. It's all up there. He just needs to do the big reveal. But it's not not something that has to be built. And furthermore, we say every day, He ratzon sheyibana Beis HaMikdash meher v'yameinu. L'chor it's a tefillas shav, because you're not allowed to be mespal ala avar. And if it's already built, it's just hanging up there in Shemayim, so you can't ask sheyibana Beis HaMikdash, because it's already happened. It's already built. We just haven't seen it yet. And therefore, says the Aruch Liner, certainly the Beis HaMikdash La'asid is going to be built a binyan mamish bidei adam. We're going to have to get a construction team down there and actually build the Beis HaMikdash. Once we do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take a Mikdash Shel Maila and superimpose it on top of the Mikdash Shel Mata. Sort of like a guf and neshama kind of thing. That we're going to build the guf, v'asuli mikdash, v'shachanti b'socha. We're going to build the structure, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and take the Migdash Shel Maila, whatever that means, but not a physical structure, and place it on our Migdash. Now, there is a possibility that I was just listening during lunchtime to the other Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. I'm the other Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. So the real Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz from Shalavim, where he was suggesting that this is a Rambam l'shitasa. You know, when the Rambam says we're going to have to build a Beis Mikdash, the Rambam is the one that paskins like Shmuel that ein bein olam hazeh l'yimos Mashiach el shibud malchios. That the only difference between Olam Hazeh, Yimos HaMashiach, is Shibud Malchus, everything's going to be B'tipo Shel Olam, everything's going to happen in a natural way. So the Rambam, you understand, is not going to want to talk about a Bishon just coming down from Shemayim, because he thinks that the Messianic era is going to be an era where things run in a natural way, with perhaps remarkable occurrences happening for the Jewish people. World peace, certainly, Shibud Malchus is a big deal, but he does not understand the Garza Evim Keves to be literal, that a sheep, the wolf, and the lamb are going to live together in peace. No, Gar Zevim Keves means that the Yumos Olam are not going to be Meshavidas anymore. So the Ram L'shitasa wants to describe it in natural terms. There's also a little bit of a stira whether Malchus Beis David comes before or after the Binyan HaMikdash, because the Ram, as we point out in Hilchus Malachim, says that the Melech HaMashiach is going to build the Mikdash, and that's based on Yerushalmi in the 5th parak of Maaser Sheni, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built before that's against the Yerushalmi Maaser Sheni, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come before the Malchus Beis David. In Megillah Yud Zayin and Beis also, that when it goes through the order of Brachos in Shmon Esrei, the Gemara tells us that Kivin Shev Nivnes Yerushalayim Ba David, Shemar Achra Yeshuvu B'nei Sol Bikshra Es Hashem Elokeim Ves David Malkam. And Rashi over there says, "Acher Yeshuvu leBeis Hamikdash uBikshu Hakadosh Baruch Hu VeZdav Malkam." We'll have a Beis Hamikdash, then we'll be looking for the Malchus Beis David. So there does seem to be a stira as to what comes first. So in the Tshuvas Pri Asada in Chelik Beis Siman Tes Zayin, he suggests to explain the Rambam that at the end of the 11th parak of Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam writes that if someone builds this Beis Hamikdash and is Mekabitz Nidcha Yisrael, then everyone will realize that he is Mashiach. Meaning, yes, Mashiach is going to build the Beis HaMikdash, but when he's doing it, we will not yet know that he is Mashiach. Meaning, who knows? You know, a president of the United States might run on a platform of, build a Mikdash in Har HaBayis and send his Jewish son-in-law to go build a Mikdash. No one's going to be thinking, this is Mashiach. I'm not suggesting that anyone's Mashiach. I'm just using as an example. Right? We're not going to have any idea who Mashiach is when he's actually doing it. But if someone successfully is Makabi Sinchei Yisrael and then builds a Beis HaMikdash, then it will be Megala to us that was in fact Mashiach. And maybe that's how you can reconcile that Stira. And Rav Yosef Engel writes this way in Gilyonei Hashas on the Yerushalmi in Maaser Sheni. Just one final point. The Rambam does write in Hilchos Malachim that a person is not supposed to spend a lot of time thinking about how things will play out in the end of days. You're not supposed to spend a lot of time, sort of like planning and figuring how it's going to play out, because he says these types of discussions are not things that lead a person, lidei avas Hashem v'yiraso. These are not types of discussions that actually help us become better religious, more religious Jews. Don't make us better ovdei Hashem. We should focus on things that are maybe l'day avas Hashem v'yir aso. However, it should also be pointed out, the Rambam is talking about when one is trying to predict the future, when one is suggesting that history will unfold in a certain way. But certainly, for one to contemplate what has already happened and how the Yad Hashem has already been there to this point, that certainly is the kind of conversation, the kind of thought process, the kind of discussion that is maybe l'day avas Hashem v'yiraso. So when a person talks about who's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, interesting machlokas, not necessarily one that leads l'day avas Hashem. But when we think on Yom Yerushalayim, what happened 51 years ago, what happened 70 years ago, and we think about the process as it's unfolding before our eyes in Eretz Yisrael, and we appreciate the Yad Hashem in each and every step, and we appreciate the Yad Hashem in Lev Malachim B'Yad Hashem, if a president of the United States decides something, that's the Ribbono Shalom's decision, he doesn't have Bechira Chavshis to make his own decisions, Lev Malachim B'Yad Hashem, we have to appreciate the Yad Hashem in everything that has already happened to this point, and that is certainly a thought that brings a person l'day avas Hashem v'yiraso.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI.
With new line on my plan, additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.